Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Good afternoon. It's Friday, Free for All Friday, and we have made it to the weekend. I told you the week was going to fly by. Once again, it has just flown by. We got a lot to get to. So Taylor Swift's new album is out, The Story of a Showgirl. And, oh my God, so many people are talking about this. We're going to sample it on the air today a couple of times. Also, we're going to play some of the music of some of the performers performing this weekend at Gretna Fest, which opens up today, and that's always a great time. All right, reach over there and crank it up, because this is what you have been working for. All right, so we have some clouds in the sky, and there is some rain out there. If you're on the North Shore, apparently you're not going to see much of it, if you see any at all. And for the South Shore, it just depends on how far north this system in the Gulf comes. We may get just a little bit of rain. We may get a lot of rain. So I guess we just have to wait and see. It's not always easy to predict the weather. Hey, how about that government shutdown? Well, that continues. And you know, it's inconvenient for a lot of people. You know, I've said this the last couple of days. I just feel badly for this country that we're going through this, that the politicians are putting us through this. This is a big political game. And, you know, we're in the audience of this political theater that's taking place, and both sides are trying to gain something out of it. I find it really interesting, and I'm surprised by this. The polls show that the American public is blaming the Republicans more than the Democrats. Maybe that's because the Republicans are in control. That's not necessarily reality, but that is the perception that the Republicans are more to blame than the Democrats. But what I also found interesting is that when you go back to the other recent government shutdowns, and you know, over the last years when we've had these government shutdowns, the public has blamed Republicans more than Democrats. And I'm not really sure why that is, but that's what the polls show. And I know a lot of people don't believe the polls. You know, there's a lot of politics going on. We're not going to focus on that on this show. There are other places that are covering that. But there are some things that I'm concerned about. We're not going to get into it this afternoon. But I just want to say that when President Trump was talking to the generals, and he was talking about how America is under invasion from within and that the American people are the enemy. Obviously, he's not talking about all of the American people, but he's talking about the American people. Americans are the enemy. And it seemed like he was just trying to get all the generals to be on his side, and they have to do whatever he says. He is the commander in chief. And he said, if you don't like it, you can leave the room, but there goes your rank and there goes your future. So there's some aspects of that are a little uncomfortable for me right now. But again, we're not going to get into this. We'll see how this plays out. But I just want to say that I don't consider the American people to be the enemy. I don't think we're the enemy. And it benefits people to call other Americans the enemy. But I think that's a really dangerous area for us to get into. You know, neither side should consider the other side the enemy, but they do. Both sides look at each other and consider them the enemy. And that's not something that we should really think about in this country. Anyway, look, I hope it all works out. I have some concerns, but You know, there's a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to New Orleans and a lot of pop culture stuff and a lot of other stuff. And, you know, the other conversations that we've had in the past on this show just go absolutely nowhere. And I just don't want to get bogged down in that. I'm Scoot. It is a free-for-all Friday, October the 3rd. I'm glad you're with us. I'm really discouraged by the idea that I just heard Peyton Malone on the news a little while ago at noon say that there's no sign of any significant cold front coming to the city. No sign in the future. It's October the 3rd. You know, we're not breaking records, so it's been this warm before, but it's just too damn warm. It doesn't have to be this warm. Well, I mean, it is. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. But man, this time of year, I'm ready for I'm ready for something really shocking, like it gets into the 70s during the day. I'm waiting for those days, but apparently no sign in sight. I wouldn't change any plans this weekend at the lakefront. There's the Fried Chicken Festival, which, if I'm not mistaken, that started out in Lafayette Square, which is just it's a smaller park in the I guess it's the Warehouse District. It's kind of the CBD / Warehouse District right off of Poydras, St. Charles and Camp, I think, are the two streets on the side. But it started out at Lafayette Square, and it grew so much, now it's out at the lakefront. And many of you maybe have never been to a festival at the lakefront. They really do a good job. It's across the levee from the UNO Lakefront Arena. So just picture the UNO Lakefront Arena, and then you go across the levee, and there's that whole area right there on the lake. You're on the lake. So it's a great setting, and today and tomorrow should be great days for the Fried Chicken Fest. And then Sunday, you know, you might have to dodge a few showers, and this whole system might not even get far enough to the north to give us any problems. So we just don't know how that's going to turn out. So don't change your plans as a result of that. Yesterday, we talked about drivers in New Orleans. And, you know, look, remember, when I say New Orleans has the worst drivers, I kind of know what I'm talking about. I haven't lived in every city. I've been to a lot of cities, but I have actually lived in Philadelphia, Miami, San Antonio, San Diego, Seattle, Portland, and Denver. I have lived and been on the air in those cities. And I can tell you that among all of those cities, New Orleans has the worst drivers. We're bad. Denver has drivers that love to speed through red lights, even more so than here. But that's a growing problem here, speeding through red lights. And I'll tell you, I wrote this in the blog. There's a blog on our website, WWL.com. It should also be on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Yes, New Orleans drivers are the worst. And again, I'm speaking from some firsthand experience, having lived in all these other cities. We're bad drivers. And more, this is kind of a newer thing, but more and more New Orleanians are really flying through red lights. So when the light turns green, especially if you're in the downtown area, but I would suggest anywhere, even in Metairie, even in St. Bernard Parish, if the light turns green, don't just go right away without looking to make sure there's no cars coming. Because the light turns yellow and then red, and cars are flying. I mean, they're stepping on it to get through the red light. They're flying through there. So if you take off on green, you know, that's going to be one hell of a collision. So I don't take off on green anymore. Sometimes I get a little beep from behind because somebody wants me to take off right away. I'm sorry, if I'm the first person at the light, I'm not going right away. I'm gonna pause a second when the light turns green, and before I let off the brake and step on the accelerator, I'm gonna look to the side to make sure that there are no cars coming. And I recommend that you do that. And we also talked about tailgating being such a big problem, and I know distracted driving is a big problem, but there's so much tailgating, and so many people are going so fast, say, on the Bonnie Carey Spillway, that, you know, that's just a major problem for major accidents. And this week, there were some major accidents on the Spillway, also on the Causeway. Now, out in New Orleans East, where people love to drive really fast, and I mean really fast, the speed isn't the problem. See, New Orleans East is pretty wide open. I mean, there's a lot of lanes there, and people can go fast. And I really don't see people tailgating very much in New Orleans East. But again, I remind you that if you are in the left lane and you're not going faster than the traffic to the right, get your butt over. Because there's a new law in effect in Louisiana that makes it illegal to just cruise in the left lane. I don't care what you think is the right thing to do. It's against the law. So you're supposed to get over. The problem with this new law, as I mentioned yesterday, is I don't see any sense that it's being enforced. And why have a law if you're not going to enforce it? Why worry about getting a ticket if it's not going to be enforced? So anyway, just be careful. I mean, if you want to respond to this, you can read the blog on the website, www.world.com. Then you can go to Scoot on your Facebook and comment on it there. Taylor Swift has released her new album. So as I said, we're going to be featuring some of the comments from that. Fun Thursday night football game last night. The Rams at home lost to the very injured San Francisco 49ers. And there were some really bogus plays that were called by Sean McVay. And it kind of embarrassing for the Rams to lose at home. And also, you know, look, I saw a lot of drop passes. So it's not just the Saints, it's other teams as well. And if I were on the air in those cities, I'd be, you know, saying the same thing I say here. You know, it's your job to catch the ball. And fans don't understand, even though we understand that you're human, fans don't really understand why certain people continue to drop the ball. I mean, that's not acceptable. I mean, you train for that. You're paid to do that. And I mean, you need to do it. And if you can't do it, then it's okay for there to be criticism of you for not doing that. So LSU and Tulane are both off this week, but the Saints play Sunday against the Giants in the Caesars Superdome. And Jackson Dart is the new rookie quarterback for the Giants. He did pretty well last week, and the Giants won last week. But I think the Saints win this week, and I think that the defense contains Jackson Dart. But they're going to have to, because the guy can run. And, you know, one of the interesting observations about the Rams is Matthew Stafford, he can't run. Matthew Stafford is not a mobile quarterback, and I think this once again points out the problems today in the NFL if you don't have a mobile quarterback, which is one of the reasons I really like Spencer Rattler. I like a quarterback that can run, because this is the new NFL. And I've said this before. There was a time in, you know, the early years when I was growing up when the NFL was just starting to transition from a running league to a passing league. And then it became a passing league. Well, now the NFL has transformed into a league where the running quarterback is the stereotypical quarterback of today, a quarterback that can actually run. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the list goes on. And if you can't run, you're at a distinct disadvantage. So that's what I like about Spencer Rattler. And I think he has a great game Sunday afternoon. But we can talk about that as well. And it is Free for All Friday. So if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you too as well.
So I know you're a Swiftie, and I know you've listened to the album. Were you listening to it at 11:01 when it was first released, our time?
Yep. Me and the missus kind of spent the evening getting ready. Let me start out telling you this, fellas.
Getting ready?
Yeah. If you really want to make your woman happy, show interest in her interests. You know what I'm saying? Like, invest a little bit in the things that she cares about, which is not to say that I don't care about Taylor Swift at all. But my girlfriend is an enormous Taylor Swift fan, has been forever, knows all the mythology and the Easter eggs and follows every moment of it. You know, the way that you and I follow news and politics and current events. So we made Aperol Spritz. Which is kind of, it's a poofy cocktail. It's like, it's Aperol and Prosecco, but it's orange is the point. And the album is like orange colored.
Yeah,
like
her new thing, she displayed this on the Eras tour where she was wearing orange. And not many people.
She went through an orange door.
Yeah, not many people wear orange. because it's a unique color that doesn't work well with everybody. But you know, she looks good in orange.
But she takes the sort of presentation of her albums quite seriously. They've each got kind of like a color palette, etc. So this new album is kind of like the orange and teal album. So I made my girlfriend some orange cocktails and we enjoyed those. And then when the album came out at 11 o'clock, you know, we stood around in the living room and just kind of listened to it. And then we'd stop and discuss each track. And I was like, what's she talking about here? And, ooh, what did that sound like to you? And what feelings did this evoke? It was a good time. And I tell you what, it's a good time because whether you like this genre of music or not is of no moment. Taylor Swift is an extremely skilled songwriter. She is a poet. She is the Bob Dylan of her generation. And you don't, you know, maybe you don't believe me or maybe think I'm not into that bubblegum crap. That's fine. We're all here to do what we're all here to do. If you go to see a movie that's, you know, in French and there's no subtitles, you're probably not going to enjoy that. In the same way, like if you don't speak this language, if you don't like this kind of music, I'm not going to tell you you're going to love listening to this album. But for those of us who are in on the joke, she's really, really good at this.
Yeah, and you can respect the songwriting. I'll also say that, you know, over the years I've talked about Johnny Resnick of the Goo Goo Dolls. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people dismissed the Goo Goo Dolls. I mean, they started out as a punk band, right. But they became a pop band with pop hits. And a lot of people think it's like chicken rock and they don't really like it. But Johnny Resnick is a profound songwriter, mm-hmm. and very introspective in his writing,
yeah.
and he touches a lot of people with his songs. But a lot of people dismiss it because it's the Goo Goo Dolls.
I was thinking about this a lot last night and this morning because I knew we were going to talk about it, and I wanted to have something meaningful to say. If Tom Petty, or Paul McCartney, or Rick Derringer, or whoever wrote these exact songs that Taylor Swift put out on this album, middle-aged men who don't normally listen to stuff would go nuts for it.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really smart. It shows you that she really thinks a lot about what she's trying to express. You know, it's very, the album that I thought about a lot listening to it last night is Blue by Joni Mitchell, which is like, oh my God, slow down, Queen. Like, this is almost too personal. You are oversharing, you know, it's like, it's very autobiographical. Each song is about a different part of her life, the way that she relates to her fame, the way that she relates to the fact that she is literally, there's a track called Father Figure where she talks about how she is the cornerstone for her entire family, for her crew, everybody that works for her, her band, her dancers, the entire Taylor Swift empire rests on her shoulders. She is, you know, like a media mogul in the mold of like Roger Ailes or whoever, you know, owns CNN right now. And the responsibility that comes with that makes her feel stuff. And she's really good at writing about that. And, you know, I think the album is very smart. Sonically, it doesn't sound terribly different from a lot of other stuff that she's done previously in her career. But it is very sophisticated songwriting. And I knew I was going to want to tell you this because I know you've been keen on this for a long time. How do artists evolve over time as their audience gets older?
Right.
Taylor Swift cannot keep making music for other 20-year-olds. She is 35 this year, I think, or about to be 35. And there is material on this album that is R-rated. I mean, she is not making music for middle school and high school girls anymore. She's making music for, you know, young working women kind of in the same place in their lives that she is, where she's thinking, oh, you know, it's about maybe I should have a family. What's my legacy going to be? You know, what does it say about my life that I have all these ex-lovers and now I found one that really kind of allows me to be the person I know I am inside? It's great. It's a great piece of art.
Well, the other thing, Ian, is that the pictures that go along with this, some of these pictures are racy. I mean, when you consider the 10, yeah. 11, and 12-year-olds that follow Taylor Swift, the preteens and young teens that follow Taylor Swift, some of these photographs, they're very tasteful, very well done, but they're like boudoir pictures. And there's one with her and food and a skimpy outfit. I want to say it's in the bathroom, and she's got stiletto heels on up against some piece of like either the wall or some furniture. And then there's a shot. I think she's wearing kind of like fishnets. But there's another shot where the whole backside, the whole naked side of her her butt is shown. So these are more risque pictures for Taylor Swift. And because it's Taylor Swift, I don't think there's been a lot of criticism. But if it had been anybody else who was attracting a really young audience, I think there'd be criticism of some of these pictures.
I would love to hear from someone who has school age daughters, and I would love to hear their perspective about, like, so what is the sort of emotional texture of sharing this with my daughter? If your kid is in fifth or sixth grade, there is stuff on this album that will make you blush and wonder about whether or not it's appropriate for your daughter.
But
and
I think,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, it's up to each parent and each family to decide whether this is appropriate for a fourth or fifth or sixth grade girl. Or a boy for that matter, but it just shows that Taylor Swift has evolved and is no longer concerned about making every single person in her audience happy and not giving them ammunition to criticize her.
Yeah.
She's on another plane. She's in another dimension. She doesn't care about that stuff anymore. She's a billionaire. She's the most successful recording artist on the planet and shows no signs of stopping. And she wants to make art that makes her feel good. Damn the torpedo.
Well, when it's the right person, and they're in a position where they have money and they don't have to be held accountable to anybody, they are free to be who they are. And Taylor Swift has always written about her exes. Mm-hmm. Now she's writing about a person in her life now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reference to Travis.
Yeah, there is. This.
But I would also suggest, Ian, when you talk about some of the lyrics that might be more adult leaning, a lot of those younger teens are not going to get it. They're not going to understand the references.
Oh my God, they're going to.
Oh, you think they're going to get
it? I'm picking up what you're putting down, but I don't know if we'll do it on the air. But I'll play some of the bits for you later. That's like, holy cow, it's not that metaphorical. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay,
yeah,
I want to hear that. All right, let's do a track from
We're gonna go to
Story of a Showgirl.
The Life of a Showgirl.
I'm sorry,
it's
The
okay.
Life of a Showgirl. The Life of the Story of a Showgirl. The Life of a The Life of a Showgirl. Let's do a track from the album now.
We're gonna go out with Opalite, which I think is the third track on here. I don't know. If I was the A&R guy, I'd say that's your lead single right there. But Opalite is about the difference in her life when she was dating John Mayer and Joe and all these
old
guys.
The lead singer of the 1975.
Exactly right. So now she's singing about how her life feels different now that she's got
okay. But also, Opalite is a very sophisticated imitation of an opal.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. There's a metaphor there.
In nature, yeah, which is also Travis Kelce's birthstone. So, here we go. All right, here's Opalite.
This is a smash hit. It's a hit.
It's a bop.
So throughout the show today, we're going to play a couple of more tracks from the new album, The Life of a Showgirl, the new one from Taylor Swift. All right, we went kind of long here. We got to get to a break. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll be right back. It's Free for All Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. All right, it's Friday afternoon. The weekend is here. You may have a little more work to do before you actually start celebrating the weekend. But, you know, as soon as I come on the air Friday, I've already kind of gotten in that weekend mood. I'm sure you can tell by listening to the show. And it is free for all Friday, so if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. There's a lot going on this weekend. We're going to be talking about some of it on the show this afternoon. And let's go to Ian with a few of your text messages.
Danny in LaPlace is listening, and he says, don't forget about Taylor's acting. I thought her job in, I think, Valentine's Day was great and so funny. This comment is from a retired maintenance worker at 62 years old.
Wow, that's cool.
Her politics hurt her, and that is sad. She is very talented.
Well, you know, people are looking to pick on people. This is how divided we are. If somebody like Kid Rock talks about politics, there's one side that says, that's great. But if somebody like Taylor Swift talks about politics and it's different from their politics, that's bad. And that's like totally hypocritical. And that's why I want to do what I can to stay away from some of those conversations, because they just go nowhere. Nobody wants to budge or move, or nobody wants to see the hypocrisy. But, you know, it's crazy. You have a right to like who you want to like. And if you don't want to like somebody because of their politics, that's okay. I just have a problem with the hypocrisy that if it's our side, it's okay. But if it's their side, well, it's not okay. And that just exacerbates the divide.
It makes me think too about how we hold Taylor and maybe women songwriters broadly to a different standard. You know, when we think about all the men rockers that wrote songs about all their ex-girlfriends and their struggles with relationships and love, and we just kind of take that for what it is. But if a female artist does the same thing, well, oh, now it's a problem. Oh, now that's all she knows how to write about, or oh, that's all this squishy, lovey stuff. I mean, I, like I said earlier, if Paul McCartney or Rod Stewart wrote the songs that Taylor Swift wrote and then recorded them and put them out, people would be going nuts.
Yeah.
The same people that are on the text line saying, I don't care for Taylor Swift. You're crazy. This is all so stupid. If a man wrote these songs, I think you'd feel differently. Here's a text message that says, hey, for the parents who concerned about Taylor's album, what's great about her is that she makes a clean version that they can access.
Yeah, you know, that's nice. It's also nice that, you know, there's a lot of popular songs that we have a hard time playing on the air because they're just filled with profanity profane words. So, you know, that's what's nice about that. So she's doing like a version that doesn't have the suggestive lyrics.
Well, I don't know. It's early. The album's only, you know, 13 hours old at this point. So I don't know if she'll put out. I mean, there are songs that have profanity in them. And of course, she'll put out a clean version of that. So people who don't want the listeners to hear those profane words will not. Some of these songs go quite a bit deeper than that. It's not just about the profanity. It's really adult themes.
Well, I don't think you can paper over that. Give me an example.
Okay. Well, there's a song called Wood.
Wood. Okay. Like Morning Wood?
If you like.
Okay.
But it's a pretty explicit sort of a peon to Travis Kelce's manhood.
Oh.
And what he does for her erotically. I mean, nobody saw that coming. You can't just make a clean version of that.
Yeah. No, that's, well,
it's pretty steamy.
I mean, if she is going to write about that, I mean, that sounds like something out of an adult romance novel.
It really is. It's a fun song. I don't know if we'll play it. Maybe I'll see if I can find a part that we can play.
You said wood.
Yeah. All right. Okay, calm down, Beavis. Here's a text. Says, where the Swifty girls go, the healthy males will follow.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, guys. If your girlfriend's into Taylor Swift, say, hey, why don't you play your favorite song for me? You know, do something like that. Same texter says, 10-year-olds are seeing real porn on the internet. Taylor is a hardworking role model and a strong lady.
Yeah, it's true. I know there are a lot of parents who don't want to believe this, but you have to assume that your kids see more and know more than you think or than you want to think. Because being naive about it robs you of the opportunity to direct them. It's one thing to come in contact with things. It's another thing to have no guidance when you come in contact with those things. And I know these are really tough conversations to have with your kids. It's a lot different than, you know, telling them about the facts of life. But as a parent, you need to be aware of the fact that no matter how hard you try, your kids may, I mean, access to porn is so easy. And I don't care what technology or politicians try to do, they're not going to stop all kids from seeing pornography. So you need to prepare them to deal with what they see. And I think maybe the access to pornography is one of the reasons why Zoomers and younger generations, but especially a generation like Zoomers that have been exposed to it, I think this is one of the reasons why they're less likely to have sex at an early age.
They're not having sex, which yeah. I think is good. I think it's a good thing. I think everybody can agree that if teenagers are having less sex, like, great.
I mean, it's
good.
You know, I mean, if
good
you're at, you know, a certain age and you see that happening, I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not going to do that to me.
I'll leave you with this one. We were talking about how she's kind of making music for herself that she knows people are going to enjoy, but it's not sugar-coated. It's not, some of it is not radio ready. Here's a text message that says, Taylor Swift has FU money. She doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way
really
to put it.
She really does have FU money. I got to get some of that FU money.
All right. If you want to join us for the comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Yeah, it's Free for All Friday. Weekend is here. There's a big thing coming up at Rock and Bowl. Actually, it's happening tonight. It's Back to the Bounty. And we're going to talk to Harvey Jesus of Harvey Jesus and Fire about this this big reunion. Remember the Bounty at the West End? Well, this is like Back to the Bounty. It's a big reunion for people who used to go to the Bounty and places at West End. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Hang on, we're coming right back on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh. And I had so much fun at West End in those years back in the mid-80s. I should have been arrested, but I wasn't. I mean, I really didn't do anything wrong. I just had too much fun. It was crazy. Remember the Bounty? Remember all of the club Jaegers? Remember all of the clubs? Remember Bart's? Remember all of the clubs at West End? Amberjacks? So many clubs at West End. It was just a thriving, thriving part of New Orleans. And, man, we were out there all the time, especially on Sundays, but Friday and Saturdays as well. But there was a place called The Bounty, and every year now they're having this Back to the Bounty reunion. If you were part of that group that went to The Bounty, if you were part of that group that went to Bart's and those places at West End, and you want to, like, get together and see people that you may remember seeing back then, then this is happening tonight at Rock and Bowl. Harvey Jesus of Harvey Jesus and Fire joins us on WWL, and Harvey's going to be performing there tonight at Rock and Bowl. Harvey, welcome to the show.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Listen,
thanks
I also
for having me on.
Sure. I also understand that this is going to be your 80th birthday.
Yes, sir.
Oh my God!
I made 80 last week on the 24th of September.
You look great. Man. You're still performing. That's fun.
Yes. I'm enjoying it, Scoot. A lot of people ask me, man, when are you going to retire? And I say, why? You know, the only way I'll even ever stop is if two things. If I lose my desire or lose my voice where I can't really do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but right now I have both, so I'm blessed. I'm really blessed.
Talk about Back to the Bounty, this reunion. You know, when events like this happen, you do end up seeing people that you used to see at those places, and it's really a lot of fun.
It's amazing. When we did the big one in 2018, they had over 1,000 people. My Facebook lit up because people were coming from out of state. It was phenomenal. It was an unbelievable day, you know. And I still reach out to people wherever I'm playing at. Somebody always says, "Man, I remember you from the Bounty." You know, and we did the Mandeville Trailhead in March. So I did, after my first song, I said, "How many of my Bounty people out here?" I'm like 99% raised their hand.
Wow.
So what I did, I kind of stuck to that genre and everything, and brought those memories back to them. And it was beautiful, man.
All right, so the Back to the Bounty reunion is tonight, 9 to midnight at Rock and Bowl?
Yes. And my son David, he's got his group Karma. They're backing me up tonight, and he and I are going to be out front singing.
That's cool. Yeah, Harvey's son David is in Karma, and Karma is a really excellent local band that deserves even more attention than they're getting.
Yeah, definitely right. Definitely right. I mean, he's a showman. I mean, he does it all. And I wish I had those moves back then like he's got.
Yeah, well, he got them from his dad. So Harvey, Back to the Bounty, you're going to do some of the stuff that you did back at the Bounty. Great memories. Great memories.
Yes. You know, you name them. We're going to do it all. You know, the Lionel Richie stuff, you know, the Commodores all the way through. Yeah. You know, and all up into some of the stuff now, you know. So we're going to go through the different decades from the Bounty and all the way up.
Yeah, I'm thinking if some of our younger male listeners are looking for a cougar, you know, this might be a good place to go. There'll be some cougars there tonight.
Oh, yeah, just throwing that out. Like you used to do at the Bounty.
Oh, my God, I know. I mean, look. I had more fun than I should have had back in those days. It was insane. Not that I'm not having fun today, but it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. But that whole West End scene was just insane. And, you know, for those who have come to New Orleans post-Katrina or just in more recent years, that whole West End area was just insane. And, you know, if you want to go to a really fun thing, I mean, if you're looking for just, you want to hear music, do you want to dance? You want to just have a good time tonight? There are going to be people there who are going to want to party tonight. And it's whole mentality from West End. It's Back to the Bounty. It's tonight at Rock and Bowl from 9 to midnight. And Harvey Jesus, his son David, and Karma are going to be performing.
Yes, they're going to be backing me up. And like I say, he and I have been we've done it before, and it went over huge. Everybody, they love to see he and I together.
Yeah, so that's great.
He brought this about to me, you know, and he said, "Dad, I'm going to put it together. I'm going back to the Bounty with you." So I said, "You got it, son. Take over."
It's got to make you feel good as a dad.
Well, I'm so proud of him because he's making a name for himself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why everybody calls him Baby Jesus. So nice, says, "Y'all know who I am. I'm Baby Jesus. Yeah. Yes, I'm Harvey Jesus' son." Yeah. As soon as he gets on stage, say, "I love him. I'm so proud. I really am. He's a great father. I mean, he's a hard worker. So, you know, I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm totally excited about it, and he is too. So I hope to see a lot of people. You're coming out there tonight?
I'm going to try to make it, yes. I'm definitely going to try to make it.
I know you have busy schedules and stuff.
I know, I make time for stuff like this. I make time for stuff like this.
Well, great, man.
All right, Harvey.
Tell them to be ready for some high-energy music.
Yeah. Look, you want to dance and just have fun? Rock and Bowl. I'm telling you, Rock and Bowl tonight, 9 to midnight, Back to the Bounty reunion with Harvey Jesus, and backed up by Karma, and his son David's going to sing with him. It's going to be awesome. Harvey, thanks for being with us, and chances are I will see you tonight.
Thank you, buddy. Bless you, man.
All right. That's Harvey Jesus of Harvey Jesus and Fire, and yeah, that's going to be a fun thing. All right, also going on this weekend is Greta Fest, and one of the traditions, Trombone Shorty, Orleans Avenue, they're going to be performing, and here is Trombone Shorty. Song is Here Come the Girls. Yeah, Here Come the Girls, and No good will come of that. I'm Scoot. We will be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar today, we wish a happy birthday to Gwen Stefani. She's 56 years old today, and she looks incredible. All right, coming up in the next hour, we'll do another song from The Life of a Showgirl. It's the new Taylor Swift album that was released at 11:01 our time last night. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Amazing. And apparently there's some kind of adult-oriented stuff on it. And she's definitely done some adult-oriented pictures for the album. Nothing wrong with that. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.